The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
And a very pleasant good morning to you, Sunday, March 10th, 2013, another edition of We the People Radio on AM 1460 KCNR Community Radio for the North State, streaming worldwide on the web at KCNR1460.com. Just go online, click on Listen Live and chat, and you can join us in the chat room in addition to listening to the program. Again, KCNR1460.com. I figured you got faked out by a clock or something.
No, I got faked out by the stoplights.
I needed the lights, and I didn't get them, and the police were sitting right next to me, so there was no option to run it. It's brutal. You pull up, you're like, I can do it. No, I can't. He's sitting right there.
I've been there. You never want to take a chance with a policeman nearby.
Oh, there was a lot going on this morning. Bill's like, you shouldn't have walked the dog. I was like, well, you know, many things. So we don't have any snazzy news updates today. There was nothing good in the news. No babies born at Walmart. Nothing of any entertainment value. So,
well, we did have a filibuster this week.
We did have it. That's right. That seems like that was a long time ago. That was awesome.
No, that was just Wednesday.
Do you guys know how long ago that happened? Like, because they said they haven't done that in a long time. I guess
no,
I don't pay.
Back in the 60s, I think.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I don't pay close attention to that, and they said they hadn't done that in a long time. I like the part about how McCain and
Lindsey Graham.
Yeah, Grahamnesty. Ever since they started calling him that, I can't get that out of my head.
Yeah, they went to their pals in the mainstream media and started
like,
whining.
He's a bad man. Like, ugh. Anyway, funny.
Well, you know, I've got something to say about that myself.
Fire.
But we should introduce you first.
Oh, we didn't do that yet?
No, we didn't.
When I wasn't here, I don't know what you were doing.
I was just doing Elizabeth's usual introduction.
Elizabeth's, you know, shtick there.
I'm playing Elizabeth this morning.
Nice. I saw the red light. I was like, oh, I failed. So we have Gary Cadd here because
good morning.
We talk all the time about local. All of our topics, we always wind up saying, you know, you've got to handle it locally. And sometimes it gets a little difficult to talk about local politics without only talking about one town. But Mr. Cadd is on the city council here in Reading, and you heard about him because he's the guy who won by 9 votes.
11.
Yeah, but it was 11, and then it was 9,
no,
and then
11.
Was it 11 at the end?
Oh. No, the original vote was certified. Then there was a hand recount. During the hand recount, the only way the certification is overturned is if the outcome of the election is overturned. So
oh,
those
really?
Other two folks still count.
They're on my visor. I have the wrong glasses. I'm blind. I'm not, though. I'm farsighted, so I can see all of you. Don't do anything. Yeah.
So you officially won by 11 votes.
By 11 votes,
I did not
yes.
know that. And see, I was just going to say, and we all learned so much by being part of the recount, so thanks for going through that for us. I'm sure it was a lot.
Yeah,
it was 11. And the thing with it is, you got to also remember, there was 52,244 votes cast in that election.
Is that really? I thought it was like 36-something. No, 52? That's actually really good.
There was 36,000 people voted.
Nice. Well, it, you know, it was a nail-biter and all that for the people in it.
Grown back.
Yeah,
you were part
months.
Of the recount, Aaron.
Yeah, I got to go just watch. I volunteered to go be
okay,
a,
you
be
were
a
observer.
Observer. Yeah,
observer, yeah.
So there were a whole bunch of us that were observers, but it was really interesting to see how the ballots are all stored and kept, and that's something most of us don't know anything about. So
something we really need to know something about, though. I mean, it's just, you know, the thing with it is with that recount, with the hand recount, it shows that we have to have a better showing in people that go keep an eye on what's going on.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say there's anything bad, because it looks as though the clerk said it was an 11 vote win, and then after the hand recount it was 11 vote, so it looks like that turned out right. But you just have to have an idea of what's going on, what the system is. And saying that, let's go back to the filibuster. Mr. McCain is quite upset about the filibuster. the filibuster is part of the rules of the Senate.
Yeah.
It's a tool. It's a parliamentary tool that you can use to stop a bill that someone doesn't want to go through, or maybe there's a problem, put more light on the bill. I mean, heaven forbid we'd have more transparency and accountability right up front, you know.
We want everybody to know what's going on out there.
Well, yeah, you know, and the thing with it is, some folks may get a little upset with what I'm going to say here, but to my way of thinking, our country really is not going to turn around to a great extent until we probably move some of the old-time congressmen and senators out of Congress, such as Mr. McCain. I think that his comments and the way he's treating Mr. Paul is appalling. Fun on words.
Well,
there.
It just tells you, I guess, I don't care how long they've been in there, if they're representing the people. But it's interesting because there was a massive outcry from people, like Twitter that night, Facebook, all that stuff was just lit up with people who were watching, you know, C-SPAN. You know, yeah. Who watches C-SPAN?
And take a look at the subject.
It
was using drones on American people.
Exactly.
I mean, duh.
And it got people engaged, and it had the left going, it had the right going. It was actually
talking.
That's what I mean. It was a great dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
And so here he is sparking this great dialogue.
And it was all about defending the Constitution.
Yeah.
And these guys,
you know, think that was wrong.
We need to change some thought patterns.
Look at folks like that and you go, oh, well, you upset the hierarchy in Washington, so now you got to, it's, yeah.
Yeah, and the thing with it is the Republican hierarchy in Congress doesn't like the Tea Party.
Yeah, it depends.
What part of oh,
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're there. I mean, I hate to put it this way, but deal with it. I mean, the folks in those states elected Tea Party leaning people, if you will, to Congress, and they're there. I mean, it's just going back down with the Republicans or whatever. But the neocon philosophy that has been in our Congress, especially on the Republican side, really needs to change. And
yeah.
By neocon, it's a philosophy that for years the Republicans basically have been wanting to put amnesty into effect on our illegals that are here. The American people have fought that tooth and nail, locked up the phones in Washington, D.C. every time they had a bill coming through. And now, while Mr. McCain is taking pot shots at Rand Paul,
yeah.
What's he working on?
Amnesty.
That's exactly right. So, I mean,
it's just a tone. It's a tone deafness. You know, it's not. You know, they're not in touch with what the rest of the folks, and whether I have a lot of people who don't agree, you know, quote unquote, with the Tea Party, but most of them really don't know what's going on. All the groups are in different towns.
And all they do know is what they hear in the mainstream
media. Yeah,
they're
working on different things, but, you know, at the end of the day, activism is threatening. It's a threatening thing. You get a bunch of people that are fired up and looking to, you know, advocate on some behalf.
Right. Well, you know, here a couple of Mondays ago, we had we were going to have a doctor come in and talk about Obamacare to the Tea Party on Monday night here in Reading. And as it worked out, the doctor had something else that was more pressing, such as surgery.
And so, the guy with a heart.
Yeah. So the doctor was doing what the doctor does, and so that we didn't have it. But anyway, that particular night, my wife and I were able to talk to our neighbors, and our neighbors decided, well, they wanted to come to their first Tea Party meeting. They were quite surprised when they got up and left after the meeting was over with. They said, you know, this is nowhere near what we had heard these meetings are like. And it's surprising that people can run something down when they've never attended. They don't know what's going on. I mean, it's sort of makes you wonder what part of understanding don't we do?
Well, it's easier to be threatened by something and... You know what? I actually have a button. I just found it in a box. I put it on my bulletin board at work, and it says it's a thousand times easier to criticize than offer help.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the thing with it is you know,
kinda
people come at you all the time with a problem. They come at you with a problem all the time.
Yeah.
But you know what's really neat is they come at you with a problem and an idea for the solution to the problem.
Yeah. And that's a lot of times what the Tea Party folks are. I mean, you point them toward a solution, they're willing to go work on it. And I think sometimes that's what's threatening, although that's the part to me that makes the most sense. I mean, why wouldn't you take a bunch of people who are ready to work? It's just different.
Yeah.
It's just a different way to do things, bottom up instead of top down.
Well, this last week, I was down in Pasadena last week for 4 days to a planning commission seminar. And while I was down there, we started talking to some of the folks were in tea parties or had heard of tea parties and this and that. And it's surprising. These people meet once a month down there.
I know. I told you guys that.
Once a month?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't get anything done with the group. I mean, you can't herd cats enough to keep them together if you only meet once a month.
No. It takes 7 weeks to change a habit, I think they said. Well, if you miss one meeting, they've already formed a new habit. They've been gone 8 weeks.
Yeah, and they just forget. They do something, like you say, a new habit. They do something different. But I don't understand that some of the tea parties, and I guess I think back on the East Coast, they're somewhat the same way.
A lot of them, because people think it's too hard. It's too hard to meet weekly, and I guess when you get down to it, it is too hard to meet weekly. If you've been meeting monthly and you only have 12 meetings a year, you know, you better have a slam-bang meeting to pull somebody out once a month. So if you meet weekly, you know, every now and then things don't go according to Hoyle, but hey, guess what? We'll be here next week.
Right.
And so, you know, like here in town, every Monday, it's just like church. We meet at a church. We use the pattern of church. You know, not everybody goes to church every week, but if you miss a week, you know where they're going to be next week.
Yeah, well, it's just like me that on Sundays I go to church, and I just there are so many issues that come before us, and so many things that need to be done, and the information that people need to have, and then not going to some place to where they can get that information, or even challenge that information for that matter. I mean, I know at our meetings we have microphones. Somebody gets up and speaks, and after they're usually through speaking, we take questions. And people can, I mean, we get people going both ways. But it's orderly. It's done in a compassion, orderly way to where people can ask a question and get an answer.
Yeah, I always tell people, even if the topic isn't something you're really fired up about, you'll meet a lot of nice people there. So that's worth your time.
Yeah, well, it was last Monday night, a week ago, was the Common Core.
Superintendent.
From Shasta County, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I'm drawing a blank on his name.
And then Foss. And then next tomorrow night is going to be another lady is going to be speaking on the same issue, correct?
Common Core.
Yeah.
She's written a book about Common Core, and she has some highlights and criticism of Common Core. So we sort of had the upside and now things to consider.
Right.
So give people an option on stuff to learn. You know, we don't learn any of this in the mainstream media.
Well, you know, and we're
adults. Kind of why we're here.
We're adults. Yeah, right. We're adults, and this is a curriculum to teach our children.
Exactly.
So we probably should be understanding what our children are being taught.
Yeah, because even if you don't have kids in school, you're going to want them to work for you. You're going to want. I mean, there are all sorts of reasons, and I think most people are pretty concerned about what's going on with kids right now.
Mm-hmm.
So we are going to come back with Gary Cadd. And Elizabeth, did we already explain Elizabeth was out in the wilderness?
We did not, actually.
She's out in the wilderness. That's why we don't have Elizabeth. My perfect foil is out in the wilderness this weekend with her husband counting trees or something. I think she's on a field trip with his work. So we'll be right back with you. You're listening to We the People Radio here at KCNR 1460 Community Radio for the North State. We're back. You're listening to We the People Radio here this morning. You can call us at 530-605-4567. Fair warning, if you call in the last 5 minutes of the hour, I'm ignoring you because that always screws everything up. So if you have this burning question, get the burning question before 5 minutes till. Let's see. And Elizabeth is on assignment.
They like to call at 2 minutes till the show's over just to mess with us.
And it's like, oh no, we're never going to be able to make it. So we're here with It's just kind of my own personal problem.
It does.
So we're here with Gary Cadd this morning, who is a member of the City Council here in Reading. We're not going to talk specifically about Reading issues, although we're broadcasting on a Reading channel. But the goal here is to figure out how to get the Agenda 21 stuff at the local level stopped. And you can't stop something if you don't know what it looks like.
Well, we should point out that Gary has really been our go-to guy on Agenda 21 before it came into widespread view.
Sure. And so, yeah, as we were looking at all these things, Gary was working on water issues and this and that. So, you know, we're trying to connect the local thing to the big overarching thing, because the largest pushback that you'll get is that, well, Agenda 21 is a UN thing, and UN's never coming, and they move so slow that they never get anything done. They're nothing to be worried, nothing to see move along, you know. So,
well, you know, the thing,
it is enacted locally.
No, you're right. And the thing with it is I don't like to talk about Agenda 21. Agenda 21 is an article. It was passed by the United Nations. It is in place, and it is sustainable development, sustainable communities, smart growth, and it goes on from there. And it filters down from the UN to the federal government, to the state governments, and even comes down into the county and the city. So what I do a lot of times is I'm looking more at what is going on locally. But the thing that really you need to be watching for is called regional government. Mm-hmm. Regional government, and if I may just use one instance here, be talking about something called ABAG here in California. ABAG is in the San Francisco Bay Area. It's 9 counties, I think it's 110 cities, and they're putting together a climate action plan that at one time was called the One Bay Area Plan. Now I understand it's Plan Bay Area is what they're calling it. But it's a climate action
classic
plan.
Just change the name.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know, and the thing with it is it's regional. So we have, they have members from the 9 counties. They'll have a member from the supervisors of each county. They'll have air quality in the area, transportation in the area. But it's a large group that's going to put together a climate action plan that will affect everyone from a small city of Cloverdale, California, to, say, San Francisco, San Jose, Oakland, the larger cities. And this is sort of a one-size-fits-all. Well, you start getting into climate action and some of the things that they're going to do with climate action plan, and it is far from being a one-size-fits-all. But one of the things that I find really interesting is ABAG has put out a PowerPoint, Projects 2009, What If? And in Projects 2009, What If? I think it's on page 5, if I recall. And I'm going to read here real quickly from it. We will also need to implement pricing measures like parking fees, toll lane charges, and bridge tolls, so that more people become inspired through their wallets to use their cars less.
Inspired by their wallets. My wallet inspires me all the time.
Oh, it does, yes. Mm-hmm. And then this is going to be really an inspiration. We will need major shift in personal behavior, where more people simply choose, for whatever reason, to drive less, walk, or take transit over driving. And then the second paragraph, the last sentence. If driving becomes more expensive, then we will need to have affordable options available. If we want people to choose walking or transit, we need to build our communities on a pedestrian scale and have real transit options available. So these kind of comments, and this group's moving forward. They're going into their final stage of bringing their climate action plan for that area, the Bay Area.
Because the people in the Bay Area are busy, not paying attention. It's not necessarily that they all agree. They just aren't hearing about it.
Actually, that really isn't the point. There is some folks down in the area down there.
There are some actively pushing.
And those are actively pushing and really have gotten in. The real problem with it is under regional government, we the people don't really have any way of getting to them, because there's no quorum of any government elected body within this. Mm-hmm. They pluck somebody out of each governing body and put them in, and then they start making decisions. And when you make these decisions, it's frustrating.
Sure.
It's the same as we can talk about a water issue, the Northern Sacramento Valley Integrated Regional Management Water Groups, of which we've got this group here. They're all over California. But our particular group here is a six-county group. And the County Board of Supervisors here saw fit to join this group. And one of the problems with it is they're using some standards to put these groups together. And one of the standards is data management. Data management sounds that's cool, data management.
Yeah.
Until you really find out that data management is greenhouse gas inventories.
Oh, crap.
Oh, yeah. So when you start looking at greenhouse gas inventories, what we're doing is we're inventorying ourselves on the greenhouse gas problems that we have.
So we can figure out how much to punish ourselves.
Yeah, in cap and trade. The California's got cap and trade.
Uh-huh.
See? So remember we had the auction here back in November, wasn't it, or something uh-huh. like that? So then we'll start moving. So we've got this portion of it. The other portion of this integrated water management group is called Climate Change Handbook, of which I've got the handbook right here in front of me. And it's, I don't know, 230 pages thick when it started, and I think it's up to 260 now because it's a living document. And when they come up with new strategies, they will add it to it. And this brings us into a court decision that came down in 2011. And this is air pollution, is what this is talking about to start with. But Southern California air pollution authorities may require pollution controls based on technologies that do not yet exist, but may be reasonably anticipated, the California Supreme Court ruled unanimously Monday. The High Court's decision is a victory for environmental agencies to set standards intended to spur the development of new, greener technology.
Required to meet a standard that hasn't where you can't, like some kind of filtration, say, for instance.
Right.
You have a particulate restriction on a vehicle emission, say, and you're held to a standard that isn't even possible to achieve in the
hopes. Maybe the standard's not even in place yet. Maybe the standard is a figment of somebody's imagination.
Okay.
But they're going to go through and have the doctoral candidate come in and take a look at it and take that idea, and that idea will move from being a fundamental idea. It moves into scientific research, into scientific fact, and all of a sudden it's a standard. These things go on.
I think I saw this in a movie once, and they were walking through the jungle, and you could hear all the ooh, ah, 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 ah.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of a sudden the guy got grabbed by a net and whoosh, up into a tree. That's exactly how this is going to work. They're putting all this little framework in place, a little here, a little there, and it all sounds boring and innocuous, and they do it regionally, so it's not really in the paper, and nobody, you know, the folks that are speaking out on it don't get any press, so you don't hear from them much.
Well, and the people that speak out on it. I mean, I've gone to these Northern Sacramento Valley Integrated Water Group meetings and speak out. I mean, there was one particular meeting I went to where they didn't have a quorum, but they went ahead and met anyway. And the people get up and stand and talk and give their arguments for what's coming forward. And they said, we didn't sure really want to talk. In fact, if you folks get too far out of line in talking to us, we're just going to shut the meeting down. Now, this is regional government at its best.
Yeah, because you can't go to your board of supervisors, your city council. You can't go to the people you've elected, even your assemblyman or your senator, because this is a different body of people made from little bits and pieces of all those.
Mm-hmm.
But nobody's the boss of them.
Well, and
awesome.
let's take another thing here. You know, I was talking about water. The state legislature in 2009 passed a bill, SBX 77. Now, most people hear of a Senate bill, and then there's a number, or an assembly bill, AS and a number. Or AB, I should say, and a number. This is SBX and two numbers. Well, let me explain what this means. It's Senate Bill Extraordinary Session.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in legislative vernacular, that extraordinary session is just an emergency. Oh, my gosh, we've got to get something done. So when you do this, we've got to get it done in such a hurry that it's probably not going to see all the light of day that it needs. It's not going to go to all the appropriate committees. We're just going to push it on through. So what's set up here is SBX 7-7. It was Senate Bill Extraordinary Session 7. This is Session 7, Bill number 7. There were six bills behind it. All right, SBX 7-7 speaks to the issue of urban water suppliers. And what it in essence talks about is urban water suppliers, such as in our case here would be the city of Reading, has to reduce their water usage, overall water usage, by 10% by 2015 and an additional 10% by 2020. And they're calling it 20 by 2020. Now, these are things that have gone through our legislature. And folks, there are a whole number of bills. I've read the major parts of them that went through in what we call the water bond. Because here in California, they put a $11 billion water bond together. It actually has never been put on the ballot yet because they're deathly afraid that it's not going to pass. And so they keep putting it off and trying for, I guess, in 14, they're
waiting for
it.
The perfect cocktail of voters legislators and...
Yeah, so in the meantime, it's still languishing out there in the middle of nowhere, this $11 billion bond that they want to produce, and in the process of doing it, the state of California is broke. But
not according to Jerry Brown. They balanced their budget, remember?
Yeah, the thing with it is...
They had a windfall in January.
We have there's one or two ways of taking care of the California being broke. You either start taxing us, which is what they're trying to do or are doing, or actually get business going again and get government cut.
But we can't do that because we want everybody to be walking and using their cars.
Yeah. And we can get into bicycles. We'll get into that a little later.
We have a whole segment on bicycles. We're not pushed for time, folks. We're going to talk about this all morning long. And so we'll keep circling back on topics that you care about and want to know more about. So if you want to give us a call, it's 530-605-4567. We're here at We the People Radio at KCNR, 1460 AM.
Green, green is green, they say, on the far side of the hill. Green, green, I'm going away to where the grass is greener still.
Well, I love that dirty water. Oh, Boston, you're my home.
Oh, you're back with us here at We the People Radio, where daylight savings time has taken its toll. You know, I had this friend in growing up back in Connecticut, and her folks were engineers, and her dad was really, you know, he was an engineer all through and through. And he refused to accept daylight savings time as a one-hour shift, so he would only move 15 minutes per day. It took him 4 days to ease in and ease out of daylight savings time. So, you know.
That's a nice protest.
Yeah, it was awesome. And he was old when we were kids. You know, her folks were quite a bit older than my parents. But he had been doing that his whole life. And at his work and everywhere, people were like, oh, yeah, Cosmo Bosco, he's going to be late today. 45 minutes, you know, because of daylight savings time. Tomorrow, half hour. Mm-hmm. Hey, there's music.
We're having an epiphany on this Sunday morning.
I was going to say, the puppies and the rainbows have arrived. Oh, wait, no, that's later.
No, I was going to say, granted, there are far more important things the Tea Party should concern itself with, but what if we got the Tea Party to, start a massive nationwide movement to refuse to participate in daylight savings time?
Just say no to daylight savings time?
Do not set your clocks ahead.
Anyway, it's irritating. It's probably part of some evil plot somewhere. I don't know. We haven't figured that out yet. Waiting for the next conspiracy on that, though. I'll take it.
Well, I told Dave Hodges state is Arizona is a more advanced society because they don't do daylight saving time.
Exactly. Yeah, I wasn't sure which was the real time, and I guess the time we just had was the real time, which is why you feel more normal on that time. So, we're going back. We're going back and forth this morning. In case you haven't figured this out, we're going back and forth on the ideas that are put forward in the Agenda 21 document. And the really hot words in that are sustainability.
Sustainable community, sustainable development, smart growth. Those are the three hot
You got those three
numbers.
Biggies, and it touches environment, economy.
Well, it touches all parts of our
lives. But there's three E's. I should have written it down. Anyway, whatever the stupid three E's are. But all these policies enacted locally stem from this directive. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it was just this massive coincidence that the entire country is doing this at the same time, along with the whole rest of the world. They're all using the same language, and they're all enacting the same stupid things that make no sense. So tell us the next thing that makes no sense, Gary.
Well, here's one thing. You know, to tie the Agenda 21 and the Northern Sacramento Valley, I should just put it this way, the Integrated Regional Water Management Groups, and they're all up and down the state. We have, I don't know, three or four of them up here in North State. I attended the Sierra Water Work Group Summit at Kings Beach Lake Tahoe last July, and there was a question brought forward to one of the speakers at the opening session, who was a high-level California Department of Water Resources deputy director. And the question was, how does IRWM help financing? And his answer, the problem is this. The idea of regional water planning came down from the UN. It's international, and the feds really have no idea how to implement it. The feds are looking to us. This is the state of California and Department of Water Resources, and we are trying to help them do it on the national level. The challenge is now to get the federal government to translate this program idea into policy. Remember a minute ago I was talking about how things come forward and they get started? This mm-hmm. is a program idea, and going to produce it and translate it into policy. Then he went on to say, and our local governments are so focused on crisis management, they cannot afford to steer resources into these efforts. They're worried about keeping the sheriff's department funded and the streets paved. At the end of the day, the state and its partners need to align all levels of government to communicate the benefits of this program to the public at large. And if I could take just a quick second here, we see this is going on. The Department of Water Resources has a development approach for the Integrated Regional Water Management Group, and it's got a 40-page PowerPoint. Then there's the Managing an Uncertain Future, Climate Change Adaption Strategies in California's Water. Again, the California Department of Water Resources.
Do these things come with a crystal ball? Because how do they know what the future is going to do?
Well, they don't. I mean, somebody's saying now that the San Francisco Bay is going to raise 12 inches in the next 25 years. It has in the last 25 years, and there's nothing saying this is going to go forward now. But they're saying that we have to start reacting to that now. And
that's based on, I mean, because we were having global cooling, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the water wasn't rising then. But in the global warming, we were supposed to have all this water rising, right? Well, now aren't we going to global cooling again?
Well,
so why
sure
would the
like
water
the
be
eastern,
going up?
Well, it looks like the eastern part of the country is really going through. We could use a little more water here in North State.
NOAA said that the ice pack at the poles was the thickest it's ever been in recorded history.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't sound like global warming to me.
Well, you know, and then there's another thing that happens too is you'd look. I spent 27 years up in Alaska before I moved to Redding 10 and a half years ago, and the time that I was up there, I worked quite a bit of that time in Prudhoe Bay, which is up on the Arctic Ocean. I actually have swum in the Arctic Ocean, and man, it's cold too.
So you're like a polar bear.
Oh yeah,
with shoes.
Yeah, yeah, and so I've been up there.
He was praying for global warming.
Yeah,
we're gonna spread that around.
So the thing with it is that up in Alaska, they just had one of the coldest winters they've had in years. And I don't see where this hysteria on we're getting hot. Now, having said all this, having said what I'm talking about, let's stop for a second and really look at doing a climate change, climate action plan, cap and trade in California. Now, we are going to either A, clean the air up so we can breathe better. But see,
all over the whole world, just
the
from
rest
California.
Of the world. Yeah. Right. California's going to clean all the world's air up, which not.
Yeah.
Okay. Or we're just going to be fleeced out of our money, our economy.
Can I choose? Do I get to
take
vote?
Take A or B?
I pick B. Bob?
What was the choice again?
Oh, for Lord's sake.
Cleaning the air up or taking money out of her pocket.
There aren't paying attention. I'm
sorry. I was over here multitasking.
I know. I saw you. I was just kidding with you.
But the point
is... We're going to be fleeced out of all our money. Pick B, Bob. It's a good answer.
The point is, it's taking money out of our economy. Right. Well, I mean, when you've got problems with local economy, you've got problems with union benefits within the state of California, you have problems with cap and trade coming, our fuel is some of the highest in the country, our taxes, I guess, are the highest in the country. There's got to be a way out here. I mean, there's got to be what some people call the off-ramp.
Well, and because of all this regulation with climate action, we see things like the $60,000 changes on big trucks, mm-hmm. you know.
AB 375.
In some cases, only $20,000, so they got a break, you know. Yeah, SB 375.
SB 375.
So that bill required all these emission standards that are insanely expensive to meet. So you have trucks that literally won't be able to come into the state to bring product.
It's going to cost more when you go to the grocery store?
Well, unless dumping them at the border and sending somebody else to fetch them and bring them into us, like we're like rats in a cage.
But even then, it's still going to cost more.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There's no way you can do that efficiently.
No. And it's going to be cutting back on jobs. I mean, the powers that be... I hate to be in California and attack California, but the powers be in California need to start waking up to what it takes to actually run an economy and run a government. And the government, we've got far too many people working in government, and we need to cut back, and we need to start making some reductions.
Exactly. All righty, we're going to take a really quick break. We'll be back with you in a couple of minutes. You're listening to We the People Radio here at KCNR 1460. Community radio for the North State. You can call us at 530-605-4567.
Or join us in the chat room at kcnr1460.com online.
Or go to the webpage at wethepeopleradio.us.
That too.
I was just trying to outlast you, Bob.
Life's no fun. All I really gotta do is live and die, but I'm in a hurry and don't know why.
Because the climate action plan's coming to get you. You should be in a hurry. Your time is limited. Breathe up all the air, drive your car. Gary? What do you got for us next? Oh, we found the three E's, by the way. Now, of course, I clicked my screen over. The three E's of sustainability: environment, economy, and equity. So that's all they want to control with it. Just those three things.
I wonder, that pretty well takes care of our lives, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. It seems innocuous. It's just three things. All they want: environment, economy, and equity. That's it. And equity, of course, means we get to take away what you have so that somebody else can have more, because the reason they don't have more is because you're hogging it. And, of course, who decides? Who gets to decide how much you have and who's hogging? Regional government.
That's it.
Isn't that awesome?
Well, one of the things to bring up is something called Complete Streets, which actually has come down from the federal government. And there's several portions of Complete Streets. One of them is bicycles. And they're putting bicycle lanes in streets, and they're... Folks, what I would ask you to do, when you're driving in your car, pay attention to where the bicycle lanes are. There's a bicycle lane
logo. I can hear the police going, you should be doing that anyway.
Well, you should. Well, no, you really should, but do it from this standpoint. Do it from the standpoint that you're going to ride a bicycle in that lane. And come up with the idea of whether you think that bicycle lane, where it's at, is safe. I believe bicycle lanes should be put over next to the curb, maybe 3 feet wide. I have no problem with that at all, but they should be next to the curb. You should not have a bicycle lane between active vehicle lanes.
Yeah, out in the middle of the street.
There is a great example of what Gary is talking about right near where the Tea Party meets every Monday night, that bicycle lane configuration at South Bonneview and East Side Road, where the Wind River gas station is. Check that out.
Yeah, you got two lanes of traffic going through. You've got a left-hand turn lane, so between the quote-unquote fast lane, you know, I don't think it's called a fast lane on the city street, but it is the fast lane. Mm-hmm. Between the fast lane and the left turn lane, there's a bike lane. So a bike rider would be actually sitting there with their back to speeding traffic and people switching lanes to get into the left turn.
Left or the right turn lane, either one. I mean, but you're going to make a right-hand turn.
Yeah.
But the thing that is coming out with complete streets is something called a charro. And a charro is a decal of a bicycle in the lane. Then it has a chevron, two chevrons above it, like the corporal insignia above it. That signifies that lane can be used by both automobiles and bicycles, both in the same lane. And to
fabulous.
Me, that is a formula for disaster. Now, I was down, as I said earlier, I was down in Pasadena this last week and attended a planning commissioner's seminar. While I was there, there was 300-400 people there. And while I was there, you know, you talked to quite a few people, especially live down in the southern part of the states, and some of them live over on the coastal communities. And some of their communities have what they call green lanes, which are bicycle and cars together, but they control the miles per hour, the speed limit on those lanes. But I think that in an average town, city, town, whichever, the traffic depends upon how wide your lanes are. For your traffic, I mean, if you have a 12-foot wide lane, people have a tendency of driving faster than they would if you had a 9-foot wide lane, 9.5-foot wide lane. So there's a lot of different ways that the traffic can be controlled. But I think that we are looking, and we're going to put bicycle riders into a bad position if we put them out into active traffic, or we put a lane, bicycle lane, in between active traffic lanes.
Well, sure. And had you like, I mean, come on. You know, you've got all sorts of drivers out there, and you've got all sorts of bike riders, too. Well, so how do they get out there? I mean, let's say they were in the bike lane, right? So if we stick with that South Bonneview configuration that we all kind of have in our head at the moment. So you're in the far right lane. You're in the bike lane all the way down that road, mile and a half. Then you want to make a left. So you've got to cut across two lanes of traffic, sit there right next to the speeding traffic, and then make a left with the cars. Well, meanwhile, you have, I don't know, I don't want to cap on student drivers, but, mm-hmm. you know, you have student drivers, you have other people who probably should have somebody driving them. You got all sorts of stuff going on.
Well, when I was down at the meeting down there in Good Pasadena, grief. I was sitting talking to some folks. We were having lunch, and we were talking about this issue. And I thought, you know, I just bought a smartphone, if you will, back in December. And so I thought, you know, I've got Google Earth in there. So I just real quickly Googled Earth, a particular intersection here in Redding, California. It's Cypress Street and Hartnell. And if you look at the west side picture when you get there, the intersection you get there, there's a bridge coming across the Sacramento River, and it comes up to the Hartnell intersection. And you can very clearly see that there's three lanes of active traffic moving in an easterly direction. There's a bicycle lane to their right, and then there's a right-hand turn lane to the right of that. And the speed limit here is 35 miles an hour, going close probably to 45. So really, for bicyclists to be in this kind of a situation, you're going to have a mental attitude change of drivers that are driving on these streets. And I wonder how much it's going to take to get that change to where that bicycle lane would be safe, because I showed it to several of the people I was having lunch with down there, and they said, that's a disaster. That is a scenario set up for somebody to get hurt on a bicycle.
Sure.
And it's Caltrans, state of California, is the one that put that configuration together.
And so, okay, let's go back to, so, okay, we've talked about how this doesn't really work for the bike riders or the, I mean, let's face it, if you get run over on a bike, that's a huge problem, obviously.
Right, and look at the person driving the car.
But there's some poor, person behind the wheel who is responsible. So pretty much ruins everybody's, you know, life, depending on the outcome. But, okay, they're doing this for what reason? Because that's always it. Is like, what's the motivation behind this? What's the goal here?
Well, the goal is to manage traffic, is what Caltrans is. Stated goal is, but the thing with it is also you have to be looking at climate action plan, and something we're going to talk about when we come back at after the top of the hour is something called VMT, vehicle miles traveled.
Oh, people are going to love
which is part of several climate action plans that have already been put into place in several counties, and ABAC that I mentioned earlier is in the process of doing, and this is going to be real interesting when we go into that little conversation. But it's controlling is what it is, and I'm not against Caltrans controlling, but let's do it in a configuration. We're not going to get people hurt or killed.
Right, but so why would they want to do that? Because we've already had bike lanes. We've had bike lanes for a long time. I mean, there have been people riding bikes on city streets for a long time.
The thing with it is, Aaron, is there's. I'm a bike rider myself. Up in my later years, I don't ride as much as I used to, but I do have an older bicycle that I bought brand new some 30, 35 years ago. And so I'm not a bicycle hater by any stretch of the imagination.
And, it hurts my neck, so I guess I'm a bicycle hater.
There's our obligatory minute before the top of the hour phone call.
Hey, the 1 minute before the hour phone call. What the heck? See, I told you. I call it every Maybe I draw it. Maybe I make it happen. I do. I probably make it happen. It's probably me. I should probably stop seeding the clouds for that, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, we have to blow out of here for the news here for a minute. In a minute,
Mike Adams, he'll hold through the news.
Mr. Adams, foul,
well,
party foul.
It's interesting, and the thing with That's it is funny. Again, folks. I think the
yes,
one of the,
he's playing the song I wanted.
There you go. One of the things we're talking about is Agenda 21, and this is all tied to it.
Exactly. We'll be back with more. Go out with the bicycle song, though, because that's perfect.
Yes.
Thanks, guys. You're listening to We the People Radio here at KCNR, 1460 AM. Join us online, wetheopleradio.us.
We aim to please.
Hey, man, George was never my scene, and I don't like Star Wars. I say, Roy, give me a choice. I say, Christ, I don't believe in Peter Pan, Frankenstein, or Superman. All I want to do is
KCNR, Shasta Redding. And welcome back to hour number two of We the People on AM 1460, KCNR, streaming worldwide on KCNR.com. Elizabeth Woodward is off this morning. It's Bob Martin along with Aaron Ryan and our special guest, Gary Cadd of the Redding City Council. Welcome back, Aaron.
Hi, kids. So, let's see. We have Mike from Horse Creek, who's our hostage on the phone. We had a call during the break from Lydia, who wanted us to remind all these people that are out there riding their bikes that apparently near her home, consistently they're wearing dark clothes and they're begging to be hit by cars. So just from a safety standpoint, you can put all the marks on the road you want to, but if you ride in the traffic lane with dark clothes on in the dark, it's likely that you will become a bumper guard. So we got that out there. Thank you, Lydia. Okay, before we go to the next phase of this operation, we better find out what Mike is up to before it's 2 minutes till. Phone started ringing. It's like, you're killing me.
I tell you, he's messing with us.
He is messing with us.
So, morning, Mike.
What's going on out there in the country?
Well, I'm surprised at your pushback at this regional governance thing. We both know that a democracy is the nastiest form and most organized form of religion or of governance.
Freudian slip.
A democratic republic is a messy affair too. But with regional governance, at least we have a more efficient dictatorship.
Well, you got a point there.
We have the. We
I
have
mean,
the, we have
it, the all they need. To, their problem is they have a panel of five or seven people. They need to distill it back down to one. You know.
Yeah, but see, what you have there is oligarchy. You got a great oligarchy because right they're
tyrannical
not elected,
oligarchy.
Are they? Oh, tyrannical oligarchy.
Tyrannical oligarchy.
Look yes. at us. It sounds like we're talking science, doesn't it? It's
well,
like
now
science
here,
talk.
Okay, now here comes a question. Here comes the real question.
Da, 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 da.
I'm all ears.
Now we got the satire out of the side.
Okay, we're over it now.
The Supreme Court at one point decided that one man, one vote was the rule of the land. And we lost our government, our form of government in California, where we used to elect the senators by the counties, and only the House was elected by popular vote.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said, well, you have to, one man, one vote, that's not fair because some counties have more people, but they have equal representation. And that was a Supreme Court issue. Well, now with these governing bodies, and you could take current ones like Water Quality Board, they're not elected at all. So where is our voice in that?
We don't have a voice there. That's the point of what we're talking about.
That's why they get to make rules like that. Because if they were elected by somebody would have thrown them out by now.
Mike,
my question is why aren't we taking this to the Supreme Court and saying, if one man, one vote is the rule of the land, you won't let us have the governing, you know, state government that we originally enacted, why are you allowing this?
Well, you know, Mike, and you're right, too, because let's take, for instance, that you've got a Senate bill, SB 375, that came out. It's one that on the trucking regulations. The legislature passed a bill. The governor signed it, but that bill that was passed was basically an outline of where they wanted to go. Then they turn around and send that bill to the appropriate department, and the appropriate department starts writing regulations. And there we have unelected bureaucrats writing regulations that are govern our life.
Well, I can understand how that happens. I've watched this gun debate stuff, and these guys obviously do not know what they're talking about on guns. Something as simple as guns. Why would they know what they're talking about with truck emissions?
Well, you're right. You know, it's
well, the climate scientist, didn't he get his science degree from like Cracker Jacks or something? There was some trick to that. He wasn't a real scientist.
Well, one of them was, but I think the one that really started all this in his later life finally decided, he said, no, this guy was wrong.
Right, but the guy in California,
yeah.
Who was their
yeah.
big scientist, turned out that he didn't have any
credentials,
science credentials at all. He was a total
right.
fraud.
An online degree from...
yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was from a cereal box top.
I know. There was some trick to that. It was actually sort of funny. I've forgotten the details, but yeah, he's walked us right into a blind alley.
Well, and the thing with it is that if you look at Mike, you're still there, right?
Yes.
I was going to go on to another subject. Do you?
Yeah, you're out, Mike. We're over you now.
Okay. Thank you.
Hey, Mike. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, what I wanted to do is something I mentioned about before we went on the break was...
We are so ceremonial here, aren't we?
Yes.
Not to mention diplomatic.
Yeah.
Oh, that's it. Like, that's what I meant, diplomatic.
Yeah.
Well, I stand on ceremony.
The one thing I wanted to mention again is ABAG, and the reason I do this, Association of Bay Area Governments, I'd really like folks to start taking a look at what's going on with the One Bay Area Plan, or the Plan Bay Area is what it's being called now, but it's a climate action plan is what it is, and you really need to look at it. But one of the issues that's involved with this plan that they're putting together is the something called VMT, Vehicle Miles Traveled. Now, what they're talking about, and I'm going to take reference to Yolo County, which is just north and west of Sacramento in Northern California, has put a climate action plan together. And in their plan, they anticipate by 2035, and I'm going to speak here in a minute about how things get accelerated. They use dates now, but they get accelerated quite fast. The plan is, it's anticipated to generate 44 miles per day per household by 2035 in the cities of Davis and Woodland. And then the unincorporated areas would generate 77 miles per day per household. Now, this is the mileage you could drive. What they're thinking of doing is it's going to charge you more for driving over those limits. Well, ABAG, Association of Bay Area Governments, has come up with another little angle to it. They call it vehicle miles travel tax. And what they've done is they figured that the average driver in the 9-county Bay Area region travels 13,500 miles a year. If you charge 10 cents a mile, that's $1,350. Oh, where's it come from? Out of the economy. But we would be a tax. And they also, in their paperwork they put out, they also talked about that if it had to be, it could go up to 50 cents a mile, which would be $6,000, $7,000 a year to drive your vehicle. So these taxes that are coming from these regional government, something that we cannot be asleep. We have to be awake. They have to be understanding.
They can't even charge a tax, can they? They would have to call it, what, a fee? A travel fee?
Well, here in California.
Right. But they would, well, not that it's going to matter when they get their two-thirds majority in there. I mean, they'll be able to do that, but
they can do what they want to do.
But it'll be called some kind of a travel fee? Is that the deal?
Well, a transportation fee.
How are they going to know?
Well, they're going to force everyone to put a GPS in your car. Oh, yeah. See, and then, of course, they probably already know where you go all the time, too. But having said that, that's sort of a privacy thing. But, you know, I mean, but it's the mileage thing. It's going right back to government's got their hand in your wallet again.
Oh, my gosh. So if you lived in the Bay Area, just out of curiosity, since I haven't read any of this, okay, if you live in the Bay Area inside their little sphere of influence, mm-hmm. right, and they pass this thing, and you took a trip across the country and back, does that count against you, or is it only the miles you drive within their nine
county?
Well,
supposed to be, no, in their 9-county area.
Oh, okay. So I was like, yikes.
So I don't know. I guess maybe you can turn the GPS off. Of course, they couldn't do that because you do it anyway. You get the
data. Yeah, I was just curious what the mechanism looks like.
Well, I'm not sure what the mechanism is, but the thing with it is somebody brought it up and they put a paper out on it. So if somebody's brought the idea up, somebody snatched an idea, now all of a sudden it's becoming a scientific idea, and then they're going to move forward with
and there's so, and there's potential money in it that the state can roll in and waste.
You still got two pennies in your wallet. I mean, there's, you know, and the somewhere along the line the California economy is flat going to crater because it can't support all the money that's being extracted, whether it's in state taxes or vehicle fees going up again, or you know, it's just ridiculous some of the things that are coming up. But this is Yolo County has the VMT in their climate action plan. And what happens, folks, when a climate action plan is put together and the city or a county passes it, it really means nothing. It's just a document that they passed. When they add it to their general plan, that's the stroke. When it adds to the general plan, then it has to force of law. Then they can start moving forward with it.
So if your community is working on something that has to do with climate and this and that and the other, that in itself is the slippery slope, but that's not the death knell.
But that's the point where you need to be saying
better get
something.
Involved.
You don't wait until it's already in the general plan.
Right.
And you're going, oh, my gosh, how come they do that? How come they tax us?
Is there a delay between one and the other? I mean, or does it kind of go in order?
Well, they put a plan together. They, I'm forgetting what the when you go to meetings and they separate us and
they do the old Delphi technique.
Well, and that's being
everybody
done.
Gets their butcher paper and their magic marker, and we can talk about how great it's going
to
be.
But you need to go sit at that table over there because that's your folks over there. And you really don't. You can go in and you can put your your ideas before them. It was like when the fins and the feathers were here. Department of Fish and Game was here on their strategic vision to fund themselves, and they were talking about the fish in a particular river in Northern California. Well, I have quite an extensive knowledge because I spent 27 years in the state of Alaska, and while I was there, I had a position on the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council advisory panel, and when in that position, I learned a lot about what the fish in the North Pacific and their habits. Well, the fish that leave the Bay Area and the streams here in Northern California, whether they're coastal streams or out through San Francisco Bay, they go up to the Northwest Pacific. And there's a lot of pressure put on them up there. But then when Fish and Game turns around and says, oh, well, the fish aren't returned to your stream, it has to be your problem in this stream, when the major part of the problem isn't the stream itself,
sure,
it's where
the
intercept fishery in the ocean, whether it's up off of the Gulf of Alaska or the Bering Sea, Aleutian Islands, you know, that whole area up there. They've even caught tagged steelhead from the west coast here off the coast of Russia.
Wow.
The steelhead are like the nomads of the sea. They go places you wouldn't believe. But silver salmon, king salmon, red salmon, up that are in Alaska and also from down here go up there. And
interesting.
So there's quite a bit of knowledge I have of that. So I talked to these fish and game people when they were here through the Delphi little meeting. We were, I think you and I were sitting at the same table.
Yeah, we were the problem table.
But it went in one ear and not the other ear. As soon as Mr. Cab was through talking, forget that. We'll move on. It was never mentioned again, never talked about. But it was issues that should have been brought forward in their studying of what they wanted to do.
But see, they're not really studying anything, and those meetings are really
just
a perfunctory little sham so they can say they had their little public meeting.
But we had a meeting. We met with those people.
We met with the public, and they didn't really say anything about that.
Well, see, so... So that's
because no data is retained from those meetings.
Right.
That's always the kicker is, you know, there's never any data retained.
Right. So you need, folks, you need to be aware of what's going on around you. At times you need to pay attention to your, I mean, seriously, I'm new to the city council, been going to city council meetings for 6 years. I missed just two of them in a 6-year period, and I get there early and I stay till they close. So I know pretty well what's going on with the city, although I am filling in and learning some issues that I didn't know and improving my knowledge of the city of Reading. But at the same time, you need to know what's going on around you. You need to find out what your governments are doing. And I know you're going to say, Mr. Cad, you don't have time. I've got the children, I've got this, I've got that going on. There's always time to be able to look, especially when somebody's got their hand in your wallet, and how far are you going to allow them to dig into it?
Yeah, even if you just pick a pet project and watch it, you know, go from project to project. All right, we're going to take a 2-minute break and let you think about what you'd like to be doing in the future. We'll be right back with you here at We the People Radio on KCNR 1460 AM, Community Radio for the North State.
Don't forget you can call us at 530-605-4567 or join us in the chat room at kcnr.com online.
Well, you filled up my head with so many lies, twisted my heart till something snapped inside. I'd like to give it one more try, but my give a damn's busted.
Eddie Rabbit. Did I get it?
You got it.
Yeah, go ahead and drive your life away for a while.
While you still can.
Until they catch up with you with your vehicle miles tax. So, hey, if you're not in the chat room, you're really missing it because it's pretty fun this morning. You know, with all the stuff we're talking about, had somebody in there who said, hey, this is going to turn out like Hogan's Heroes. Pretty soon there's going to be tunnels everywhere. And somebody else said, keep an eye out for anybody getting rid of dirt. And then, of course, the obligatory, that wasn't a sinkhole in Florida. So, you know, if you'd like to do something besides listen to the show, along with listening to the show while you're drinking your coffee, wethepeopleradio.us, click on the listen button, and poof, the chat room will pop up.
Because then, the chat room is more twisted than the show itself.
Exactly. Exactly. If you're not getting enough fun in the show itself, you know, the chat room will help you. But after the show, just a point to ponder there at wethepeopleradio.us, because .com was taken. How it, just irritating. But so if you go there, the archive of the show will be there in a, you know, hour or two. So then if somebody clicks on the listen button after the program, they can listen to it themselves. So there is no reason not to get this information out. And also on the webpage, Robert has added links at the bottom, actually, if you live here in Northern California, the links to all your elected officials, direct emails, all that info is at the bottom of the page. There's information about Mr. Cad here, who is our special guest today. Bay Area Regional Government, there's a link to that. Climate Action Plan, link to that. There's just a lot of good information on here that people can use. So make use of all that, folks. Meanwhile, somebody called, and it's not 2 minutes to the hour, so we can talk to them.
We have two calls, actually. First
oh
one is
gosh.
Our very own Ruth Angel.
Ruth Angel, hi.
Hi, Ruth. Good morning, Aaron. Hi, good morning, Gary.
Gary.
Hey, I do have a comment, and I wanted to get your thoughts, Gary, because I know you also had gone to the Board of Supervisors meeting because you're very involved in this area. I am the chair of the Integrity Project, and last week at the Board of Supervisors meeting, I indicated and made a statement to the Board of Supervisors that Tuesday at 9 o'clock in the morning was not a great place or a great time to have Board of Supervisors meeting. Number one, people work. Number two, the younger people, most young people are working during the day. 9 o'clock is not a good time for them. And most of us can't sit there for 3 hours to hear all of the issues. So when you go to the minutes and read the minutes, they don't have the passion of the speakers talking. You basically get a list of who spoke on what subject, but you don't get any idea of their passion. And the other thing is that people are not being informed. And so the Integrity Project wants to make some suggestions and come up with some solutions about how we can open that line of communication through social media, through maybe videotaping the meetings, since they're not going to change them to a time that's more responsible and reasonable. So I know you were very active in getting that change, and I want to ask you what you did and how the Board of Supervisors responded to you to open up the communications, because I think it's an issue that the Integrity Project take on so that we, not only building these district committees, can get more people involved and get them knowing about not only the local issues but the regional issues as well. And I'll take my answer off the air. Good job, Gary.
Okay, hey, thank you.
Thanks, Ruth.
Bye-bye. You know, the thing that you're talking about, a year ago, it would be January of 2012, I started attending the Shasta County Board of Supervisors meeting at 9 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday mornings. And the start of the meeting, I would get up and give a 3-minute presentation on why the county Board of Supervisors should archive their meetings and put them online. At the moment, they do put them on Access Channel, but not all the areas of the county, especially those up in the eastern, northeastern part of the county, don't get Charter cable up there, so they don't have a chance to see these. And plus the fact they're only on twice. You get them at, I think it's at 8 o'clock on Tuesday night and 2:30 on Wednesday afternoon, I think is when they come on. But what they need to be done is put on online like the city of Reading does. And I know the city of Reading has a system that is a little on the expensive side, and I understand probably there's some other ones out there that maybe don't have quite the functionality that the city of Reading uses, but the county could use it. And I spent, I don't know how many meetings in a row, I got up and talked 3 minutes, and they were going to move forward. They were looking at putting something together. Then something got in the way in August of last year when I signed up to run for Reading City Council, which I'd been planning on doing. So then I started concentrating on getting my 11-vote margin to win that seat on the council, and I haven't been able to go back to the board since then. But I would recommend that folks on the on your group, integrity group, start going to the council, to the board meetings, and start talking to the board, and start a dialogue, and don't give up on it. Just keep going back, and if you have to, go back with one person, stand up and say something, and then 2 weeks later, three people get up and talk. Mm-hmm. And then go until you've got 20 people signing up, and put the pressure on the board. There's political pressure for this, and you need to put the political pressure on the Shasta County Board of Supervisors to do exactly this, because right now they are getting a freebie. They are doing things that they want to do, how they want to do them, and it doesn't, the light of day doesn't come out. I mean, there's something with the Northern Sacramento Valley Integrated Regional Water Management Group. The county actually joined them in a form that they shouldn't have, and were members and interacting with this regional group for 2 years before they went back and actually had the Board of Supervisors move these five issues that they had originally done when they had their Shasta County Water Agency hats on. So, I mean, I happened to find that out, and they real quickly turned around and put it before the board, and they passed it real quick. But the thing with it was is if we the people don't lead our leaders, then our leaders can go astray. If
well,
we the people, I forget
yeah,
what
they're there to represent all of us.
That's right, and we need to lead them. We need to have an eye on them. We need to watch what's going on with them. And I mean, I have people with the city council now that I'm on the council. They come and talk to me, Gary. Why'd you do this? Or Gary, could we do this over here? And I listen. That was the point I campaigned on, that I would listen to the people, and I believe that the same thing needs to be done with the county board of supervisors. So my recommendation would be to go to the meetings, stand up, and you can stand up and be respectful. Stand up and just tell them how you feel and what it is you'd like to have done. Because by the Brown Act, they can't really stop you. You can get up and you can, as long as you don't curse them, talk, you know, bad language to them, or actually single them out individually, because they're there as a board, as a board as a whole. But you can talk to them and talk about their shortcomings or things that you feel they shouldn't have done. And that's right there.
That's what open comment is all about.
That's exactly right.
So now the group that Ruth was talking about is, you can find it online if you're out of the area. It's integrityproject.com. And if you're in the area, I would encourage you to become part of that group, especially if you're a business owner here locally.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at making our county more friendly to business, how can they work together? It's a collaborative project. So if you're if you're in a county where you're thinking, you know, our guys are not listening to us, you know, our business guys don't have time to be going to all these meetings and stuff, integrityprojectshasta.com. And I'm sure that those guys are willing to help you set up your own integrity project in your town. So integrityprojectshasta.com.
Sure they would.
And we have another caller online? Am I right?
Yes,
do we do.
Who's hostage? Billy Bob from Palo Cedro has been waiting patiently.
Right on. Good morning. Hello. Billy Bob.
Hello, Billy Bob.
Hello. Hello, guys. Great show as usual, Aaron. You do a wonderful job.
She was. Thanks. I'll tell Elizabeth.
Got a note from listening to Mark Kent's program yesterday morning as a little bit of an encouraging news. There was no bids for the carbon tax auction being held last Friday.
Far out.
No bids.
Not a single bid. And the pushback is going to happen. And as I had a good talk with you, Aaron, after your show last week, my big push is that we got to put a fork in California. It's done. We got to go to the state of Jefferson. Our rural area will support it. We'll take all the agriculture. We'll take all the gold mining. We'll take all the mineral production. We'll take the timber of Southern Oregon, Northern California, and we'll have one of the richest states in the country without the legislative and bureaucratic corruption. And we will start over. It's already been worked on. Stan Statham. And there's Maurice Johannesson is on board. So if we can't solve our problem, which we're not going to in California, as everybody says, we don't have a chance with the supermajority. Hey, put a fork in it. California's done. We're out of here. All right, I'll take my answer off the air.
See you later, Billy Bob. Yeah, they can.
All right, thanks again.
They can have all the Priuses, and we'll keep all the pickup trucks.
Yeah.
That's how that'll work. They can count their little miles, and we'll just spend the miles driving through nice countryside. So I wanted to let you guys know that up actually in Siskiyou County, they're working on the state of Jefferson again. They're always working on it, but actually meetings are taking place, and people are getting together and find out what can really be done. So that's kind of an exciting thing. All right, we need to take a swift break. We'll be right back with Mr. Cad. We'll be talking a little bit more about the Climate Action Plan, the Regional Climate Action Plan. It should have been the Climate Regional Action Plan because crap is funnier than RCAP. So anyway, we will be back with you here at KCNR 1460 AM, Community Radio for the North State. You're pushing too hard every night and day. You're pushing too hard, pushing too hard.
Oh, baby, come on. Let me take you where the action. Oh, baby, come on. Let me take you where the action. Oh, baby, come on. Let me take you where the action is. It's so neat to meet your baby where the action is.
That's the Climate Action Plan theme song.
Yeah, back in the 60s, it was a music show for teenagers, Where the Action Is.
Yeah, it was something happy. It's always happy, and now we're ruining it again. All right.
That's what we do.
So Gary's got some intel for us.
Well, I'd like to mention something again, because I really want to put this point across, that the comments I'm going to read again were made at Kings Beach, Lake Tahoe, on July 17th of this last year. And they were made by a California Department of Water Resources deputy director who's in charge of integrated regional water management. And the question that was put to him, how does IRWM help financing? And the answer, the problem is this. The idea of regional water planning came down from the UN. It's international, and the feds really have no idea how to implement it. The feds are looking to us, the State of California and Department of Water Resources, and we are trying to help them do it on the national level. The challenge now is to get the federal government to translate this program idea into policy. And then he goes on to say, and our local governments are so focused on crisis management they can't afford to steer resources into these efforts. They're worried about keeping the sheriff's department funded and streets paved. At the end of the day, the state and its partners need to align all levels of government to communicate the benefits of this program to the public at large. Folks, you need to be aware of what's going on around you. This is integrated water. The state is going to force urban water suppliers to reduce their water usage by 10% by 2015 and an additional 10% by 2020. These things are coming at us. These bills have already been passed.
And that doesn't count how many people there are.
No.
Right? So if a whole bunch of people move into an area, or it adds subdivisions, or it does this or that, that area is basically capped
right
at what it is now. And they're talking about a reduction going forward, regardless of what goes on there.
Mm-hmm. And see, the thing with it is this bill also, it's sort of sketchy the way it's worded, but it also talks about agriculture. And agriculture having measurement, water measurement. Now, a meter is a way for water measurement. Now, if you have a ground, if you have a well, it's groundwater. There is possibility in the future that you're going to have a meter on that well.
Oh, they run that all the time. Whenever they start talking about septic tanks,
right,
you know that the meters on the well are like sniffing around the corners.
And when you do that, if you have a water right, put a meter on it, where's your water right just gone? So keep in mind that this is from up on high, Agenda 21, and it does filter down. Now, I'm just mentioning Agenda 21 because I'd rather look at what's going on here and what the problems are that we need to work on now than Agenda 21. But it is tied to Agenda 21.
But just know that Agenda 21 is like a blueprint, that they're a playbook,
mm-hmm,
that they're working off of. And because there's a playbook and it's happening all over the place kind of at the same time, that's what makes it dangerous.
Yeah.
These aren't people just making this stuff up, so you can change some of the players. But as long as you leave these regional commissions in place, a lot of it will just continue on.
Well, let me go back to the last sentence in the quote I just read you. At the end of the day, the state and its partners need to align all levels of government to communicate the benefits of this program to the public at large. Who's going to communicate the problems with the program? Excuse me a second. Who's going to communicate the problems with the program? Who's going to communicate what's actually going on if there are things? Now, I'm not going to say that everything is bad from the government, but...
I'll do it.
Okay.
Oh, no, okay.
But the point is you need to know what's going on. And then the other one, and this is the corker, folks. I've read it before, but I'm going to read this one again, too. This is a decision by the California Supreme Court. Southern California air pollution authorities may require pollution controls based on technologies that do not yet exist, but may be reasonably anticipated. The High Court's decision is a victory for environmental agencies, state, that set standards intend to spur development of new, greener technology. Speaking of new, greener technology.
Do we have to?
Well, I think we need to.
Okay.
One of the things that we talk about, and I talked about this when I was down in Pasadena this last week, is the water and hydro for producing electricity. In the state of California, the only hydro that counts are real small hydro situations.
Yeah, it's over 30 megawatt doesn't count?
It's something like that, yeah. I think it actually might even be lower than that. I've tried to get a number, and I've never actually gotten the number of what it is, but it's a low number.
But like here locally, Shasta Dam doesn't count.
Doesn't count at all.
As hydropower.
No. With AB 32 in here in this area, if we were, right now we are at 20% green production of electricity. We cannot, if we could add the dam, Shasta Dam in, we'd be at 60%.
Mm-hmm.
The state wants us to be at 33% by 2020, which now they're actually talking about raising that level from 33 to either 40 or 45, which is going to cost like you wouldn't believe.
Oh, my God.
Now, hydro can cost anywhere from probably 8 to 14 cents a kilowatt. To 8 to 14 cents. Wind and solar are up around 25 to 28. So your electric bill just went up by 100%.
Well, and they just had to shut down one of those big wind farms because it was making all the people near it sick. You have all these,
well, and
all
they have
these issues. Plus, they're heavily subsidized. So not only are you paying more for the power, but you're subsidizing the wind farms and the solar to be put in the first place. So you pay on both ends.
Mm-hmm. Well, and one of the reasons, well, not one of the reasons, the reason that we here in Northern California are having the problem with that hydro is not our fault at all. It's the fault of two competing entities in the southern part of the state. PG&E is here and also down the southern part of the state. And then you've got, for instance, Southern California Edison and San Diego Light and Power. San Diego Light and Power and Edison did not involve themselves with hydro. They stayed away from hydro in the southern part of the state. They didn't build little dams to where they could have a waterfall and use a generator to generate electricity. We here did. They didn't down there. So the legislature has chosen to penalize us because it would, quote unquote, give PG&E an upper hand on the two entities down the southern part of the state. And there's other entities too. I'm just mentioning just the two biggest ones. But the reason I mention this is the city of Redding. We have our own Redding Electric Utility, and it's really putting us in a bind because we've had to raise our rates 7.84%. We're in the fifth year of a six-year raise, which is going to be 48% the time we get through. And we're having to do it. It's not a problem with the city. It's not a problem with the utility. It's a problem with the state of California is where this problem is coming from.
Sure. And if we solved it, I mean, bottom line is if we solved that and we were at, 30% or whatever they wanted, they'll want 35.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and then you get 40, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And then, I'm sorry, but as a business, how long are you here?
Well, and
you're just not. You know, you're not here anymore.
Well, that's right, because somebody's got their hand in your wallet again, mm-hmm. in your checkbook for your mm-hmm. for your business. But see, the thing with it is earlier we were talking about, excuse me, climate change and the different issues coming after you. We have no doubt that they are going to come after, like, the water. Right now, I said it's 2015 on SBX 77, it's 2015, and then on 2020, it'll be another 10% for a total of 20%. That's going to change. That's going to go up. It could be 15 and 15. But they are going to decrease our water usage. So electricity is going up, decrease water usage and charge us more. We've got some real problems, especially in Northern California. And like when Ruth Angel called in earlier and asked about the County Board of Supervisors, folks, you need to know what's going on. If you're in the Bay Area, you need to find out what ABAG is doing. And there's some meetings going on down there. I'm not exactly sure. I didn't bring any information with me. But I do know that there's some folks down there that have been watching it very closely.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm pretty sure that if you start investigating down there, you can find out more of the information you need to know.
Well, but depending on what your interest is, I mean, everyone can't do everything, obviously. You just don't have time. And people are working and this and that. But follow something. If water is kind of your hot button thing, or if local government is your hot button thing, find something and follow it. Plug in. Find out who's active. At the very least, find out who's active. Ask those folks what they need for help. Do they need you to show up periodically at a meeting? You know, you don't have to necessarily get your PhD in this stuff, but plug in somehow.
Well, and if you've got, you know, if there's 8 or 10 of you, and 2 of you can go to a meeting, report back to the other 8. If you've got 50 people and 5 people go, it report back to the 50, so that you know what's going on, so you have an idea. I mean, some folks can't go to some of these meetings. Maybe if it was to a position that you were needed badly, you could say, well, I can make it to that one meeting. But if you have other folks that are going to the meetings and keep you involved so you understand what's going on, then you can go to these meetings and have an idea what's happening. What I'm trying to say is I don't want to see us get to the point of how in the heck did we get here? How did we allow this to happen? How is this already in law and it's too late to do anything about it, quote unquote?
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to see us get there. I'd rather see us understand what's going on.
Sure. So when your climate action plan becomes part of your general plan, game over.
That's, well, in essence, it's game over. You'll have a heck of a time getting it back out of there again. And let me go on here.
Hold on 5 seconds, and we've got to take a really swift break, or we'll be up against top of the hour. We are here with Gary Catt. We're talking about local government and how that meets sustainable everything. You're on KCNR 1460 AM.
One more night without sleeping, watching till the morning comes creeping. Green door, what's that secret you're keeping? There's an old piano and they play it hot behind the green door. Don't know what they're doing, but they laugh a lot behind the green door. Wish they'd let me in so I could find out what's behind the green door.
You can explain it all down in City Hall. I say, here, when you're hot, you're hot.
Well, you know, when you're talking about the climate action plan, you can't help but play that song, huh? So you're listening to We the People Radio here in the last
you did
7
get the,
minutes.
Explain it all down at City Hall reference.
Yes, I did. And down at City Hall, Gary Cad's been splaining that for a while. All right.
I'm trying to, anyway.
So we're going to move on to toilets.
Yeah, I understand Ron Paul
made some
comments about toilets back in our Senate. And the thing with it is, in the Shasta County Regional Climate Action Plan, I was at a particular meeting here about a year ago, and it was brought up that we were going to have to restrict the size of the water tanks on our toilet tanks. And they said they have to go down to 1.4 gallon
tanks. And so when I left the meeting, I went home, and our tanks are 1.6. So I called the air quality fellow the next morning and asked him about it. He said, well, Gary, he said, probably when you sell your home, you're going to have to change those toilets. So the next, it was on a Friday, so Sunday I went to church and happened to talk to a couple of developers. And he said, well, Gary, he said, the reason why they're 1.6 is 1.4 won't sort of push the product down the stream. And I said, really? And they said, yes. And nobody, they'd be having problems about it. In fact, I said, you can Google and check some of the municipalities down in the southern part of the state that have gone to 1.4, and they're having to go in and spend millions of dollars to steam clean their sewer lines out because there wasn't enough fluid to push stuff down.
Can't make it go.
No. So do you have the link here?
Here's Rand Paul a year ago talking to the EPA.
Okay, I believe we've got this in the correct spot right now.
We do, and it's not a filibuster.
Okay. this is not going to take 13 hours.
No.
Items with all your rules, all your notions that you know what's best for me. Frankly, my toilets don't work in my house. And I blame you and people like you who want to tell me what I can install in my house, what I can do. You restrict my choices. There is hypocrisy that goes on people who claim to believe in some choices but don't want to let the consumer decide what they can buy and install in their house. I find it insulting. I find it insulting that a lot of these products that you're going to make us buy and you won't let us buy what we want to buy, you take away our choices. These things you want us to buy are often made in foreign countries. You ship jobs overseas. The same thing that your administration claims to be in favor of, you're shipping our jobs overseas by saying we can't make these items.
I wish you'd come out and say how he really feels
well,
about
it. Well, he started we didn't have enough time to do the whole thing, but he starts that by asking her if she's pro-choice, the EPA lady. And she's like, well, I'm not pro-choice with light bulbs. It's like, oh, my God. He goes, well, see.
She walked right into it.
Yeah, it's like, she goes, well, he said, well, the thing is, you people are pro-choice about everything except consumerism. You know, So why is that? And so he continues to rip her. So if you want to look that up, it's a YouTube video. And if you just look up Rand Paul, EPA, and toilets, you'll get it. If you just put all those words in your search engine, that'll pop up.
Well, going back real quickly here before we run out of time on this. This is the draft plan of the Shasta County Regional Climate Action Plan. And there's a portion in here that talks about, the end-of-trip facility is in here. This is what their
consultant. End of what trip?
End-of-trip facility. The end-of-trip facility is where an employer is going to have to put in a safe place for them to store their bicycle once they get to work, because they're riding their bicycle because we're no longer in cars. And then they're also going to have showers. And they're going to have a locker because, you know, they're going to wear their bicycle garb to work. And when they ride to work, and then when they get there, they're going to take a shower and put on their work clothes, and then they can put their bicycle stuff back on and go home at night.
There are so many people who shouldn't wear those tiny pants.
Well, that's probably true.
But extra there.
There's also, it talks about new billing, tiered billing, B-I-L-L-I-N-G, paying your bill for water and for electricity, that you have a certain level. But, oh, boy, if you go over that level, see what happens to you. And this is what this tiered billing is.
Then you get creamed. What about the people who, Mike had a question on here. He wanted to know how you account for people that are off the grid in the whole green power thing. How does that work?
Well, if they were off the grid and had their own cells, they wouldn't be involved with this.
What if they're using water power? What if they have a little water wheel and they're storing their power in batteries and doing that?
Well, they'd probably be doing that in their own property. I don't think there'd be a way for them to check that.
The drones will find them.
Or maybe the drones will come around and start checking on that
attack
kind of thing.
Watch. It'll be all about your neighbors ratting you out.
Right.
Pretty soon we'll have to pay our taxes in cheese,
well, you
won't
know,
we, to the rat squad.
Years ago, I think there was the Iron Mountain Conference years ago, back in the President Kennedy time. There was Iron Mountain 1 and Iron Mountain 2 conference. And if I'm not mistaken, that's where the term came out that in the future, Russia would become more like America, and America would become more like Russia. And, you know, at times I begin to wonder if maybe that's not the road we're heading down with the government and the way the government's being run.
Yeah, to maximum inefficiency. We had a girl that we knew went to, I don't know, some part of Russia, and she said all the shoe stores in this one area, you had right shoe stores and you had left shoe stores because no one had pairs. All the shoes had been all separated and they were just all over the place. And so you had to, if you found a shoe you liked, you had to go hunt for the other one. It's like, I thought she was kidding, but that's how it is. So bottom line is hang on to your shoes. Hang on to your water, your wind, your shoes. Hang on to everything.
Well, and mainly what we're talking about here today is hang on to your wallet, because I think somebody's got their hand in it. And if they don't already have their hand in it, they're going to be putting it in it.
Exactly. And for those of you who are accidentally listening and realize you've tuned into the wrong station, we were already clinging to our guns and our religion. So now we're going to hang on to everything else. Oh, my gosh. Well, we have had another exciting episode of We the People Radio this morning. Hope you'll catch the archive. Send it to your friends and family. WeThePeopleRadio.us has all that information. Thank you, Council. Councilman Cadd, for joining us.
You're more than welcome. Enjoyed myself.
Of course, that's what we do here. Thank you, Bob, and hello to Elizabeth out there in the free world.
Is Elizabeth back next week?
Check.
All right, we will look forward to that. Aaron, thank you very much. Thank you for allowing me to be Elizabeth this morning. And Gary, we certainly enjoyed having you.
Thank you.
We'll do it again. And Don and Judy, Don Shulman and Judy Maxwell, coming your way next here on Community Talk Radio for the North State, KCNR, Shasta, Reading.